from a random apartment in Brooklyn, New York, it's Geek Speak with Ian Levinstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levinstein.
Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to a special edition of Geek Speak here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. Call this episode 11.5 of Geek Speak, as I just found out some interesting news that I really felt could not wait until Thursday to talk about. And that, of course, is an interview that came out on Newsarama.com very recently, which was conducted by the Newsarama guys with Ed Brubaker. Ed Brubaker, of course, the very talented writer who is currently writing Captain America for Marvel Comics and is as well writing the brand new X-Men Deadly Genesis miniseries for Marvel Comics. Now, the interview focused on the Deadly Genesis miniseries, because that's the main thing that is going on right now with Ed Brubaker. He's been doing Captain America for a while now, and he's got that Bucky arc going on there, which is doing really well. And honestly, I gotta tell you, I never thought I would get into Bucky coming back to life, but this is pretty decent here. And obviously, there are going to be some spoilers in this, as I just mentioned, so I'll put that in the show notes before you even download this, that there are going to be a couple spoilers here and there, because I don't want you guys getting any revelations that you really don't want. But the, as I said, the interview focuses on Deadly Genesis, and I wasn't really too hyped for Deadly Genesis when it first came out. Out of all the series that they've been talking about, this one seemed to be the one that was a bit lacking in premise, because how many times have we seen characters come back to life already, you know? It's absolutely crazy how many single times now that sort of stuff has happened. But here we go. Here's a character that we don't even know whether we've seen before, who is coming back into the Marvel Universe, that apparently only knows Scott Summers and none of the other X-Men that appeared in this issue. He doesn't know Wolverine, which means this dude's got to be from the classic days of X-Men, which makes it even more interesting. Now, in the interview, there were a couple of reveals here and there. Ed Brubaker basically told Newsarama that he was going to be putting together this series to go through some questions that people have had over the past couple of years with Marvel Comics. One of which being something that every single Marvel Comics fan had been wondering about for years now, and had never really gotten an answer. It was planned once upon a time, and was even revealed technically in the X-Men The End miniseries, but not many people actually consider that canon, because that's more like Chris Claremont living out his dream right there. That's basically the best way to put that. But yeah, the main thing that he's going to be revealing here, well, two things. Number one, we're going to find out where Professor Xavier ended up at the end of House of M. Now, as I said before, I read House of M, I enjoyed it, thought it could have been about two or three issues less than it was, because, as I said, Bendis wrote the second to last issue before he wrote issues 5 and 6, which sort of gave it a filler feel, which I didn't really like too much. But anyway, the concept is interesting. Only a couple mutants left in the world, 198, and that's why they're going to come out with X-Men 198 sometime soon. But Deadly Genesis is one of the first series that came out, and it's going to be dealing with the third Summers brother. Yeah, I'll give you a little minute to digest that. The third Summers brother is finally going to be revealed in Marvel Comics. Now, for a long time now, we've been getting hints as to who this third brother could be, and then they completely stop talking about it, because that's the way Marvel works. If they want to move on, they just move on. They don't even mention it again. This was a plot that was dropped years ago, I believe Fabian Nicieza, who was the first person to really drop it. And just in passing, Mr. Sinister said to Cyclops one day, your two brothers. And he was like, what do you mean two? He said, oh, slip of the tongue, of course. No, you only have one brother. What was I thinking? Ha 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 ha. Hey, look over there, a bear. Whoosh. But it was sort of dropped for there a while there. There weren't really any actual revelations as to who this third brother could be. Ideas came out, and there was an idea for a while there that this character, Adam X, who was part alien, part human, was going to be the third brother. And that was subsequently dropped because I don't even think that many people actually liked Adam X. I was certainly not one of the people who enjoyed Adam X too much. That much I can definitely agree with. I mean, Adam X was an interesting character, but not interesting enough to be a third Summers brother, you know? I mean, you've got Havoc, who's a nice, interesting character, someone you can relate to, somebody who has been in comics for years now, who has plenty of backstory, who you can get to. You've got Cyclops, who's the leader of the X-Men, who's been the Boy Scout for years now. Everybody is really interested in him, and you need a character that has mystery, intrigue, and leadership potential in order to be a Summers brother. That's sort of like the requirement right there, and Adam X really never filled that. The storyline was going to be that their mother ended up having a baby when she was being held prisoner with this evil alien. I forget his name offhand, and if I find it, I'll put it in the show notes. But, you know, I mean, it's an interesting concept, but not really interesting enough to actually give yourself a story out of it. So that was dropped. Then another idea came out. And this was the idea that Chris Claremont ran with in his X-Men The End miniseries. And as I said, that's not technically canon. Chris Claremont wants to be because that's his baby right there. This is where he gets to resolve all of the plot lines that he's been dangling that he never finished, which are a lot of them because that's what Chris Claremont does best. He leaves plot lines dangling. That's all he does, literally. But yeah, he's revealed in that that the third Summers brother is Gambit, which I don't really think works too well. I mean, I like Gambit as a character, sort of. I'm kind of glad that he got killed off in the Ultimate Universe, but that's another story for another time. And as I said, plenty of spoilers in this one, so if you haven't read these issues, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. But anyway, in X-Men The End, as I said, it's revealed that Gambit is the third Summers brother. Now, with that, you got a lot to explain there, because number one, last I checked, Cyclops' powers worked on Gambit, and if you're a Summers brother, your powers should not work on each other. That's supposed to be the rule. Like, Havoc's the other side of the coin. That's why Cyclops' light beams never worked on him, and that's why subsequently, when Havoc would throw things at Cyclops, it wouldn't work either. That's just the way they work, and I've seen plenty of instances where Gambit got blasted, and really, that is a problem there. And also, Gambit has his own backstory, you know, with the Prince of Thieves and all that, blah, 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 the Thieves Guild, and he's got his own thing with Rogue going on. You really don't need to make him a Summers character to make him interesting, because, well, he's interesting enough to begin with. He really doesn't need it. Now, there are other characters out there that could certainly go for something like this, but they all have their own backstories, and I say give it to them. You need to introduce a new character in order for this to be the case. Now, I seriously hope that once we get to the end of the X-Men Deadly Genesis miniseries, we get a defined character to become the third Summers brother, and I very much hope we do not end up screwed over with Gambit being the Summers brother, because I have a feeling that it'll just end up getting dropped eventually also, because when you make a character something that they're not, fans don't like it too much. I mean, there's plenty of fans of Gambit out there. Heck, Gambit originally was supposed to be, back in the 80s, Chris Claremont made this clear, Gambit was supposed to be Longshot reincarnated. That's it. That's all he was supposed to be. And eventually he would be revealed to be Longshot, and that's the way things were going to happen. But obviously things took a very different turn, mostly because people liked Longshot, and they liked Gambit. It was two separate things. They liked both characters, they wanted them to be separate, and that's why Gambit ended up living longer than he was originally supposed to do. They dropped that storyline entirely. Longshot came back in his own time. Gambit stayed what he was. Thieves Guild, blah, 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 Rogue, blah, 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 blah. He's got his own thing going on there. Don't make him a Summers brother. If you make him a Summers brother, you are going to completely lose all credibility with the character, because how could this have gone missing, this information? How could this have gone missing for years now, you know? Number one, his last name's LeBeau, or LeBeau, or however you want to pronounce it. He grew up in the Bayou. Doesn't really seem like a Summers brother to me. Really does not. I mean, and also, just in general, his powers really don't seem too much like any of the others. I mean, sure, you know, he's got the, you know, the concussive blasts that come out of his cards, but it's a little different than what Havoc and Cyclops have. So, like I said, keep Gambit out of it. Either bring in a new character, or bring in a character that's already been established that works a little better with Cyclops and Havoc. Don't bring in Gambit. I know Chris Claremont introduced it in X-Men The End, but none of the other The Ends have been in continuity. Why does X-Men The End have to be in continuity? Chris Claremont wants to be in continuity, but no way. It's just not going to happen, because half the people in X-Men The End are just different than what they are now. Like, for instance, last I checked, Northstar. Yeah, Northstar is in X-Men The End. And last we checked, Northstar was killed off and ended up under evil zombie power control thing, whatever, with Mark Millar and John Romita Jr.'s run of Wolverine. Northstar got killed off. They had a funeral for him. Not that that means anything in the Marvel Universe, but still. If you do this, you're going to lose credibility there. Now, talking about losing credibility, and I'm just going to branch off to a couple other topics here before I end this podcast, because like I said, this is a mini episode of Geek Speak. Episode 11.5 of Geek Speak from my home here in Brooklyn. And in a recent issue of Uncanny X-Men, which came out this past week, my mistake, not Uncanny X-Men, regular X-Men, which is written by Miller, who does a very, very good job on that, he, as of now, from the looks of things, gave Iceman his powers back. After the whole thing with House of M, I was really hoping that they were actually just going to keep the X-Men that lost their powers without powers. That was going to make sense. Because if they gave them powers back, you invalidate the entire 198 concept. Now, were Iceman's powers just dormant while everybody else's were gone? I don't know. But you had that scene with Emma, you know, looking for his mutant gene, trying to reactivate it so he won't end up killed. And then she apparently finds it, and everything's good as new. Which really does not work for me. Now, mind you, he did look a little deformed, and I'm thinking this is more like his powers were like back in the 90s when Emma Frost tinkered with it, back when she was still evil, and gave him, like, extra hyper mega power ice, whatever you want to call it. And he was much more powerful than he had ever been when they tried to make the character more cool. And then, well, which is ironic, because he has ice powers. But anyway, that was what they tried to do back then. And it worked for him for a while. And then he ended up back to his normal ways, and I think he's better off that way anyway. But here's Iceman with his powers back already. Now, does that mean other characters are going to get their powers back? I seriously hope not. I honestly hope not. Because if they do, like I said, it's going to invalidate everything that was set up in House of M already. You want something that lasts, Marvel. You do not want something that is absolutely retconned after only a couple of issues of your series. Because if you do that, nobody's going to trust you anymore with these events. You went in there and you said, no more mutants. You went in there and said, there's only going to be a couple of mutants left. Deal with it. Here's the new status quo. It's going to be like this for a while. If you don't like it, leave. And a lot of people have left already because Infinite Crisis is doing much better over DC than what Marvel's doing right now. But still, you've got a set number of mutants that you said you were going to have. Iceman was not part of that plan from the looks of things, and yet here he is, all iced up again at the end of that issue. Big mistake, Marvel. Big mistake. And also, you shouldn't be doing that in the regular books, honestly. I mean, to me, what you should be dealing with right now are the ramifications of the powers being lost. If you're giving people their powers back already, not even a month later, like I said, not only is it invalidating it, it's giving us no reason to believe that everybody's going to not have their powers for the rest of this run here. I love Generation M, which also came out this past week. That was a very interesting look into the post-mutant world, especially with Chamber, who I loved as a character. And to see him with his face all ruined like that, that is deep, I gotta say. And they're gonna get into Jubilee later on in that series, and a couple other characters that did lose their powers. And it should be a very interesting read. And going back to X-Men Deadly Genesis, that looks interesting to me, also because this is a character that might have gotten woken up by the mutants losing their powers. Which is really interesting in itself. But if the mutants gain their powers back, then you're not gaining anything, Marvel. You're just losing readers, and you're losing hope. This is a call for desperation, and nothing else. There's a reason why you released House of M when you did. I mean, come on, everybody knows that. But to go back on your word already, and to give Iceman his powers back, is a major, major flaw there. That much I have to say. And I think that's pretty much going to cover it for today's Geek Speak. Although, actually, you know what? Before I end it here, let me just touch on one more thing on X-Men Deadly Genesis and apologize for the false start there. Give me a 5-yard penalty, repeat first down, whatever. They're going to be bringing, well, at least they're going to be explaining where Professor X went in X-Men Deadly Genesis 2, which is also a smart move, because if you're going to have anybody explain it, have Brubaker explain it, because he is one of the hottest writers in comics right now, and Marvel happens to have him. They just signed Paul Jenkins to an exclusive deal. Brubaker's with Marvel and nobody else right now. Except I think he might actually have an independent book out there, but I'll look into that. But right now, I'm absolutely loving what Brubaker does, and I hope and pray that he continues what he's doing and gives a nice reveal as to who this secret mutant is, who the third Summers brother is, where Professor X is, and I actually sort of hope he comes on to write X-Men at one point, because he's been doing a very, very good job here, and that might continue in the future. So anyway, there's a special edition of Geek Speak, episode 11.5. I really thought I had to touch on this because I'm a huge X-Men fan, have been for years, and I very fondly remember the whole third Summers brother controversy from back in the day, because that's when I first started reading comics back in around 93. So there you go. And I hope you guys enjoyed this, and I hope you join me on Thursday from 6 to 7 for the official episode 12 release of Geek Speak. So until then, the email address is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. And of course, you can hear me streaming live Thursday from 6 to 7 on brooklyncollegeradio.org. And of course, the podcast will be released at speakgeekspeak.com as always, and the forums are at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. So, once again, I'm Ian Levenstein. This has been episode 11.5 of Geek Speak, and I will send you back to your daily lives. Until next time, take care, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and continue to enjoy your geek. Take care, everybody.